The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, Pentec Pty Ltd, ABN 596-1893-5265, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
Welcome to our two-part series on technology and implementation in financial advice, because choosing the right tech is only half the story. How you design it, connect it, and make it work in your business is what really drives client experience. Join me, Sasha Ludkowski, and our guests as we explore how to design, implement, and get real value from your tech.
Plutusoft is a leading Australian CRM and end-to-end financial planning system built specifically for financial advice practices. The financial planning software supports the full advice process, from fact-finding and modelling to document generation and delivery, through a single integrated system. Additionally, Plutusoft offers a client-facing portal. Trusted by advisors nationwide, Plutusoft helps practices reduce administrative overhead, accelerate advice production, and enhance client engagement. The system continues to evolve through customer-driven innovation and a commitment to simplifying the advice journey, offering integrations with technologies such as Microsoft, CDM solutions, Anature and ClickSend, as well as data feeds from the industry's leading platforms.
Welcome to episode one in our two-part series on technology options and implementation to enhance your client experience. I'm Sasha Ludkowski, and today we're rethinking the all-in-one versus tech stack debate. Instead of choosing sides, we are going to explore how an all-in-one platform can serve as the central engine of the advice process, with targeted integrations layered on top to enhance business operations, client experience, and team efficiency. To do that, I'm joined by another Sasha, which I must say is quite unusual. I'm joined by Sasha Burkhart, founder and director of Burkhart and award-winning financial advisor. And I'm also joined by Vincent Holland, co-founder of Plutusoft. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Sasha.
So, Sasha, many of our listeners may already know your name. So can you please give us a 60-second introduction and tell us really about your lens on advice technology?
Fabulous. So I'm Sasha, the founder of Burkhart. I'm also the lead advisor in the business. So I'm still very much in the advice day-to-day, but I'm also responsible for how the business is designed and how the systems support that work. So I guess a big part of what I focus on is removing friction from the advice process. And I pretty much start with the client experience at the core of everything I do. So how advice feels, how easy it is to engage in, but also how it includes the user experience for the team that's delivering it. So I guess one thing that's been really important for us is getting the people who actually use the system in building it. Because once they have the buy-in and understand how it's used, it means the tech gets used instead of being worked around, which I feel sometimes people then build their own stuff because they're trying to work around the things that don't really work.
Interesting. All right. I think we're going to have a lot to talk about today. Just an inkling that we might have a bit to talk about. So some really interesting things for advisors to learn from there. So put a pin in that. Now, Vincent, welcome to the podcast. Now, I did some casual LinkedIn stalking and I really want to know how and why does a lawyer co-found an advice tech company?
Well, good morning, Sasha, and good morning, Sasha. Great to be here on the show. My name's Vincent Holland. I'm a co-founder of Plutusoft. I started my career, as you said, as a lawyer. I then got into financial advice. My parents ran a financial advice business, so I joined the family enterprise. And through that journey, we custom built a software system. So my mum was the brainchild behind that system. She was a software engineer before she became a financial advisor. And we originally set out to build a software platform purely for that business to use within the business. Long story short, we've since now run a standalone software company, so no longer involved in advice, but purely just running Plutusoft as a standalone software company. And over the years, we've
we've built out a really strong following in the Australian financial advice industry.
Yeah, nice. Look, I have a soft spot for the family financial advice practice. That's how I came into the profession as well. And again, really interesting to hear that everything that you've built has been with the financial advice and from a financial advice practice, right? So again, I think our listeners are going to get a lot given that you've got that really strong basis in financial advice. So lots to talk about today. So look, let's get into it. Thank you for your introduction. So first question for Sasha. So this all-in-one versus tech stack debate's been going on for years, right? So why do you think that it is so polarizing?
Oh, gosh, I think it's polarizing because people usually come into this debate with scars, right? We've all had at least one or multiple bad experiences. So when you go in to change some tech or a whole system, sometimes you get sold the Kool-Aid, right? And then that doesn't work. So going to do it again, there's that many scars that are embedded into your brain and your team's brain that it's all kind of put into that too hard basket. So if you've had that bad experience, you could feel boxed in by one platform. It might not actually have its fit for purpose that you thought it would have. So it just creates a whole lot of confusion within the team. And, you know, once you've lived that experience, you form pretty strong opinions. I think it goes wrong, you know, when we treat those experiences as proof that there's one model that can fix everything, because I don't believe one model can fix everything. It can go a long, long way, but there's so many things that every practice does differently for it to serve every practice the same way.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, of course, as time changes, right? So when technology really started coming to the fore and there was the hope, there was the hope that there would be an all-in-one. But then the reality of that came into play, and you're completely right that every advice business I speak with, that, you know, we all speak with, everyone does things slightly differently. So Vincent, I guess, like, what are we missing when we frame this debate as an either or, right? What have you seen in your dealings with advisors?
Yeah, look, I think it's a really good question, and I think part of it comes down to what do you mean by an all-in-one technology system? Mm-hmm. In our view, when we refer to all-in-one, what we're talking about is the advice production part of the process and the CRM. So having that tightly encapsulated in one system, in our view, is really important if you want to run a profitable, efficient business, not breaking up those components. Mm. But beyond that, you know, there's always going to be technology that advice businesses are going to use outside of that core system, what we would say is ancillary technology. So, you know, everyone's going to be using the Microsoft suite of applications, you know, the Xero or MyOrb accounting software. So they're always going to be other tools on the periphery that an advice technology system is not, you know, it's not designed, and that's sort of beyond the scope of the advice system. But yeah. But as far as we look at it, it's key to have that core advice production engine, the fact find, your strategy modeling, your product recommendations, your advice documentation, your client portal, your CRM, running that on one core system.
So controversial question, maybe controversial, I don't know. Is the real issue then actually how advisors design their process and their business and not what they buy, not the tech they buy? Any thoughts?
I 100% agree. 100% agree, because I think the biggest part to all of this is who designs it. A lot of systems are built in isolation by one person, generally at a leadership level, and then they hope, cross their fingers, that everyone's going to adopt it. And if they don't adopt it, generally others have different workarounds, because the people that are using the processes don't understand or it doesn't do what they want it to do because they're not using it day to day, or the ones that are using it day to day, it doesn't follow the path that it needs to follow, therefore making things more difficult. So we keep arguing about tools, but we're getting the wrong people in the team potentially to design the tools when we should get the team really involved in that process to map out the processes, what's every stage of advice, and then working those workflows out and building it in that way. So we know if something goes wrong, there's a part of the process that doesn't work, and we can then build that into the system to make it work. And then the people that are using it day to day doing the data entry, from doing the advice to doing the modeling, to, you know, document storage. Everything is then used in its ability to have that single source of truth, and using the platform functionality in the way it should be used.
Yeah, it's a very interesting observation. And I always come back to when, you know, I design my business processes, when I help advice practices design their processes, it's like water, right? Water always follows the path of least resistance, and people are no different. You know, we see the same sort of thing when park spaces are designed. People will make their own path through the grass and that sort of thing if it's easier for them. So I think that that's such an important topic. And for our listeners, happy days. Episode 2 is all about change management and, you know, embedding those sorts of things in the business, because there's no point just buying a great software package, to Sasha's point, if we're not going to use it effectively. So, Vincent, you touched on this. So let's talk about this idea of this central engine running the business, right? Separate to the business's processes, philosophies, all that sort of thing. So if this, you know, all-in-one platform, and we know that it's not because you talked about ancillary technology, but if this platform is the home base, is the central core of the business, what do you believe it should be responsible for in an advice practice? And then, Sasha, I'll get your thoughts on that, given that you are an advisor actually using these systems.
Yeah, sure, Sasha. So I think one of the key parts of it is the actual data itself. So you've got your practice level data. So your business analytics, your workflow management, your task management, your team management. So you've got that data, and then you've also got your client data, your FactFind data, your reference dates, your compliance, your FSG dates, keeping a track of where everything's up to with a client. And there's a lot of data, you know, even small financial planning practices, large financial planning practices, there's a lot of data points that's involved in running a practice and delivering financial advice. So having all of that data in one core system that the whole team logs into is so important. So that single source of truth, and that's what an end-to-end system can deliver for your business, is that you've got all team members logging into the same system, maintaining the data all in the one repository. Mm. And then also from an efficiency perspective. So in Plutosoft, one of our core philosophies is that if you enter data into a system, it's only captured once, whether it's the client doing it on a client portal or a team member in the advice business capturing the data about a client, that the data flows in at one point and then flows throughout the system, so into your strategy modeling, into your investment recommendations, into your advice document, having that single data flow. You mentioned the one about the analogy with water, which I think is a really good one, and I might steal it.
We can talk commissions afterwards on that one. I'm a philosopher and a podcast host.
Excellent. Yeah. So just having that seamless flow of data from the beginning to the advice document.
Absolutely. Now, Sasha, as an end user of, you know, a home-based type system, how does your experience reflect that? Is there anything else that you use that you feel is core to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Vincent's exactly right in everything he says. You want to minimize the amount of data entry you have to put into a system, because when you have to put in information once or twice or three times, data integrity can get lost if someone makes a mistake. So having to, like, once a system has all the information, if you have to re-enter it in a different area to do your modeling, it kind of loses that user experience, because if someone's having a bad day and enters something incorrectly, that data integrity gone. So what we like is having something that you don't have to touch it in multiple different screens to make the data work. But then it, like, you can press a button and everything's updated in the back end without that human error element. And we find from a scalability and from the ability to go through documentation a lot easier, you can find errors in work at a core level, and you don't have to go and change it in multiple places. So yeah. If you're a firm that outsources work to paraplanning, or you have a paraplanning team overseas, it's really integral that there's minimal work in going to change that data all the time. And I think you want to be able to do it perfectly in one place. You want to be able to log in to your core CRM system, find out who the client is, where they're up to, are we on track at meeting all the deliverables that we need to be, and where they're at in the process at any given time. A system that is that ecosystem that works like that is perfect, because you don't want to have to go into different technologies to find out, okay, well, when did we deliver the advice document, or what's the FDS, or what's the opt-in, or what are the dates? There's just way too much, and that's where that errors start to happen.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, that absolutely speaks to an efficiency. That is efficiency, right? I mean, you know, we've all had the systems. Yeah, we've all had the systems and all that where we have had to go and enter data multiple times, and it just, there's so much room for error. And it adds every couple of minutes, adds and adds and adds. And then all of a sudden, you know, with the cost to serve clients and all of that, it just makes sense to have something as home base, as core, and with data efficiency as possible. Now, this, I guess this is jumping ahead a little bit, maybe to an implementation and maybe even a change management question, but I'd be interested, maybe, you know, Vincent, getting your thoughts on, we talk about data integrity, data is key, the data is absolutely core. When someone makes the jump in CRMs or, you know, home-based software, whatever we want to call it, obviously, they have to do quite a lot of data cleanup to make sure what's coming in, right? Garbage in, then we produce garbage out. How much of an advisor's time is spent sort of prepping for a transition like this?
Yeah, well, I can certainly speak to our experience working with hundreds of practices right across Australia and helping them make that journey, including when we onboarded the Burkhart team. I think it was 2023, if I recall correctly, Sasha. So, you know, we've got a track record helping firms make that transition. When you're changing business critical software, which we would say that's the category that we fall under, there's absolutely change management, and there's that initial data transition. And I think a lot of this will flesh out in episode two of the next podcast. So make sure you tune into that one. But, you know, we assist with you know, the data migration, helping transition data into the system. And I think there was a point picked up before by Sasha, whose team did an excellent job implementing our system, is just having the right team members involved in the project, planning the transition, especially if you're a very established business with lots of clients, lots of data. You know, we help coach practices through that journey, working out when the best time in the process is to make the change. But we definitely see that with the firms who implement a system like ours successfully, there's that initial work up front, but the long-term benefits, the efficiency gains they're able to achieve in their business is completely transforming. Some of the figures and metrics that we've seen when we talk to firms, you know, 12, 6 months, 18 months later, is that they've just had such a it's made such a massive difference in their advice journey, and that all comes down to how well they implemented the system at the start. And perhaps Sasha will be able to add a bit more to that.
Yeah, if I recall, I think we had multiple different systems doing multiple different things. So we had a system for notes and FDSs and opt-ins, and then we had a system for the fact find, and then a system, so it was a dog's breakfast, the source of truth coming from multiple different places. So just knowing that it wasn't going to be a plug and play. I think we go into these things that it's going to be this shiny disco ball that's going to just start work. Everything's going to work from day one. It's not like that at all. It's what you put into it is what you get out of it. And I see tech and I go, that sounds amazing. And I jump full foot, 2 feet in. And then I go, oh crap, that was a really bad decision. Because I can see how things should work and then when they don't. But what I learned very, very quickly is I've got a great team and they're very good at what they do and they're doing what they do every day. And I'm only seeing a part of that because I'm out generally one-on-one with clients. So I learned very quickly to say, okay, well, who's going to be the key stakeholder in building the advice docs, you know, and I had one of my team really go through all of that and learn the modeling, learn how to actually code. And it's not really even coding. It's actually a lot easier than that in Plutosoft. But then also finding a member of my team who really got into the project management and all the workflows. And then like we've built workflows for absolutely every part of our business, whether it's onboarding, whether it's the review process, whether it's the strategy considerations document. So every part of our process, we've built a full end-to-end process map. And it was really great to see some of my team, flourish in those roles. They got really excited. They got really passionate about the ownership of those documents. And when you get that buy-in from your team, everything is so much more simpler.
Yeah, I think, and again, this is covered a lot in episode two, is that change management piece. It's all very exciting. It's very shiny. It is when you're a business owner, a leadership level, doesn't matter what size your business is, when you see something, a tool that you like and that you think is going to really make a difference in your business, yes, let's get it. Let's get it done. Let's get it integrated. But honestly, the more change management that I do, the more that I see that that is actually the core of this. The software, the solution, the product, the whatever you're putting in place, that's just the end. That's just the outcome. That's just the end result. It's actually what is the bigger piece of work is the lead up to that. And again, episode two, we cover that a lot. But I guess that then comes to one of my next questions, which is, should advisors be designing their tech ecosystem? Because as we know, it's not just what there's no all-in-one that does it well. So should advisors be designing their tech ecosystem around the advice process or around their broader business operations? Sasha, what's your thought on that as you are an advisor?
So I've jumped into many camps on this because as you go through owning a business, you kind of quickly realize what works and what doesn't work. I think it's very different for a small firm and a big firm. There's a very big change management, obviously, when you're dealing with lots and lots of advisors versus three advisors in my practice. So it's a little bit different to get the right people in the right mold. But you do need your system, the Power Rangers that are going to go in and have some really good ideas. But if we're just focusing on what a system does, I think we should. Every business has a different outcome they want for their clients. So I think building a system, what worked for us is what we wanted the end picture to look like. Yeah. This is what we wanted to do, and then reverse engineer it from there. So how do we get to that point, and what are all the steps we need to do there to make A, the client experience better, but also the workflow experience better for the people using the system? So I always think if you start with the end in mind and then work backwards, you'll get a better outcome. And then in bigger firms, I believe it's finding out that the key people that are going to come with solutions and strategies and great ideas on what they want the client experience to look like. Because everything, if you give a good client experience, I think everything else wraps up, right? And that's at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, deliver good advice that's right, that's compliant, and ticking all those boxes. So if you're just starting with, okay, we just need a system to do this, I think you get a very, very different outcome. And we all have different touch points that we do with our clients to build that client experience. So you want to really say, okay, well, how do we get here? And then work out all the what ifs in the in-between and bring your team into the what ifs, because they're going to know a hell of a lot of more what ifs than I know, because... Oh gosh, I can't know anymore. There's too much in my head already. So the team need to come. The team need to come to me with their what ifs. And it's great because it does lead to these really, really good debates in teams and really people stepping up and going, I think this would actually be a great option. And then you're creating something more powerful.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you. Now, Vincent, what about yourself, working with businesses of all shapes and sizes? What are your thoughts in terms of designing, tech ecosystem around the advice process or around those broader business operations? I guess especially for those larger entities. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, if I look to what our experience working together, Sasha, in 2023, I think if I recall it correctly, pre-2023, you were using, I'm not going to mention any names, but you were using a few different tools in the advice process. And then we were able to
help you transition onto Plutosoft, and you're able to effectively replace a number of those tools and run the business on an end-to-end system. When a practice onboards, typically our focus will be helping them make that change. So we're very much focused on the advice process, on the CRM. A lot of those peripheral tools practices will be using already. So, you know, they're already going to be using the Microsoft ecosystem. They're already going to be using perhaps, you know, the email marketing software. So, you know, it might be once they implement our system that those things continue, you know, the status quo continues as far as those things are concerned. I think it's important not to overcomplicate this. You know, we always say, like, as an advice business, your job is not to be the head of IT or you know, you're not running an IT department. You just want to keep it quite simple. And that's why less is more. You know, don't break up your advice process by plugging in this tool here, this tool there. They're never going to connect together properly. You just want to have, you know, that simplified core system that everyone can be logging into. All the team members have all the information they need, and you can focus on servicing your clients.
Nice. So when does it make sense to integrate a more targeted, robust CRM, right? So for yourself, Sasha, what was the tipping point? What was that litmus test that says, right now we need something new, we need something more, you know, custom built, whatever it is for us?
I remember sitting at a conference, I can't recall which one, and I was drawing out my tech stack and I was like, holy crap, how much are we paying for this? And then when you actually work out all your monthly subscriptions, so cost was a factor, but the biggest factor was that every person in my team had a different source of truth that they were using. So I couldn't go to one system and say, oh, well, no, their balance is updated here or this is this. That was a huge turning point for me when everyone, there was no accountability because there was too many areas of accountability. So, and it just didn't make sense. We were looking at multiple different CRM providers at the time, and I knew we needed to make it work. So I got the team to trial some, not me to trial them, because I knew the team had to use them. And I didn't have the level of time day to day to go and trial things and then get led by that shiny object. Because I feel like a lot of firms out there come to market with something that's not actually ready, that they're so close to being ready, and then you have a poor user experience. So I left a lot of the decision making up to my team, because they were going to be the ones that were using it, and that really paid off for us. And then that saved us quite a very large sum of money every year in terms of tech fees, but it also has a better experience for the users of it. In terms of downside, everyone needs to learn to use a new system, but you've got help and support in the initial stages to do that, and it is a system that grows with you. So you can use it quite simply from day one, and then you can just keep adding to it as time goes on, and you don't have to pay fancy coders or anything to jump in and do that. And I think that was a big win for us, because if we want our documents to look a certain way, I don't have to wait for someone to learn how to code that or do that. We can literally upload that into the system quite easily. So it was quick to implement. Normally when I had changed or introduced tech in the past, it was such a long process to get all the information in and to be able to use it effectively that we still kept the older system running just in case we needed it. But I believe it was like, oh gosh, Vincent, it was what, 3-4 months before we were using it to, you know, a really solid use. But in 6 months, it did everything that it needed it to do. And I believe that time to get us being fully functional in one system without all the other plug and plays that we had at the time, yeah, it was amazing.
So it's really interesting to hear that, you know, for you, the tipping point was you started to realize that there were too many sources of truth and therefore there was no source of truth. So that was your driver for integration. Right. So Vincent, is that fairly common, or are there other drivers that advisors come to you with, or that, you know, if an advisor is experiencing this sort of pain point, that maybe that's the little indicator that maybe we should look at something a bit more efficient in our business?
Yeah, look, it's a really good point. And
I think in terms of the drivers why practices want to switch, the number one driver is advice efficiency. So most practices that I talk to want to get more efficient in their advice production. And those are practices that our system really resonates with because they can see, you know, the way our system is designed. You've got the one point of data entry, it flows throughout, and then you get your advice document, you know, very efficiently at the end. So it sounds simple, but that is such a pain point for most practices. If you save time on your new client advice, well, that's going to create a huge amount of capacity. And then if you can also save time on your review process, well, suddenly you've unlocked a huge amount of efficiency in the business. And then that turns the dial. So on things like profitability, practices who can service their clients more efficiently have more capacity for advisors to take on more clients. They've got more output. So the firm becomes much more profitable. So I think and advice efficiency has been such a pain point for such a long time. Yeah. That's why we built Plutosoft in the first place. It was a pain point for us. I mean, this is going back a long time, but it's still a pain point for practices today. And that's, I think, for firms in that position, wanting to get those efficiency wins, you know, those are the firms that we can really help.
So I guess just coming back then to this, you know, all-in-one versus tech stack, blah, blah, blah. What are some things that, or some systems, processes, tools that you don't believe should be integrated into a CRM, right? So Vincent, for yourself, you know, marketing, meeting technology, all of that sort of stuff. Are there things that you believe a CRM really shouldn't be doing?
I think it's, I mean, at the end of the day, like we've got a certain focus on, and our focus is quite broad already in what it encapsulates. But there's certain things we're not going to do. You know, we're not trying to replace your Microsoft Outlook. We're not trying to replace your Xero accounting software. And I'm sure Sasha will be able to speak to some of the other tools on the periphery that the Burkhart team use in their business. But I would say where the scope is that core CRM, workflow management, advice production, client portal. I mean, that's the other one we're seeing a big trend towards, you know, from a cyber perspective, is having that client portal. Now, in my view, you want your client portal to be part of your core advice production system because if you don't have that, then you're going to have a data issue. So if a client's updating a fact find in the client portal, if that's not synced back to your advisor CRM, well, then you've got that data entry issue. You're having someone manually update or massage the figures in the advice CRM. And the more times you change data, the more prone it is to error. So, you know, that core process, that's where we focus on. But I'm sure Sasha will be able to speak to some of the other tools that they use effectively in their business.
Yeah. So I think where we say one system has to be all in one for everything, it's never going to happen in the financial planning world. It just can't, because you need a system that can model and can cash flow out and can do that. And there's very few systems that do it well. So being able to ask, you know, Plutosoft to then be able to be the engine that you do all your marketing, such as your newsletters or your landing pages for events, or, you know, plugging blogs into something. It's never going to be that. So I think we need to understand that a holistic or end-to-end CRM system in the financial planning world is exactly that. Everything that you need it to do from a financial perspective for a client focus, but then you might have your other CRM systems, which aren't the source of truth, but are that if you have a client that goes on from your website to sign up to or book in a meeting, it can go through a different CRM, and then once they fill out, it goes into Plutosoft as a link to fill out the client portal. So you can still track your metrics on how many new clients are coming through these links and all of that stuff. So I guess the other systems we use are Copilot. So for a lot of our stuff, for research, for bringing our tone out in multiple different layers, so one-to-many rather than one-to-one. We use a client experience in terms of what coffee people like to drink, you know, when their birthdays, their anniversaries of their children, if their kids are getting married. So those little dot points that you can market to different clients at different times, trying to set up that in an automated way is one of our really big focuses at the moment. And, you know, if Pluto Software were going down that angle, then they wouldn't be kind of refining the systems that we need them to refine with all the system changes that evolve in the financial planning ecosystem year on year. So marketing and sales and metrics is a little bit different, and we use systems for that, and we use Pluto Soft for what it's intended to do.
Yeah.
And I think if you build it with being intentional about what you want to offer clients, it's not about choosing the wrong software. It's going in with, okay, well, what is your intentions for it to do? And then working on the best way to be intentional with your advice. And I think once that happens, everything fits together.
I really like that, being intentional with your advice. And that very much feeds into what you said earlier, which is start with the end in mind, right? If we know what we're aiming at, then we just kind of work backwards. Obviously, that's very simplified. It's obviously a lot more complex than that. But then, you know, if it was all that easy, we'd all do it. So I guess then a bit of a weighing up sort of question is, well, for yourself, Sasha, how should advisors weigh internal efficiencies against client experience when deciding what to integrate? So, for example, if a tool is, you know, clunky for clients but great for advisors and gives great efficiency outcomes, is that worth it? And is that something each business needs to decide?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think each business needs to design. Everything I want to do is for the client experience in mind. If you give clients a good experience, they're going to come back. They're going to refer their friends and family, and then you're going to be the person they call when they need you. So I want my team to be efficient, and the efficiencies come from being able to use the automation of sending out review emails or links. What we do at the moment, I don't know about you, but it's very hard to find good people at the moment in the financial planning that can just sit in your team and run. If we could do that, gosh, that would solve a lot of our issues. Finally, you know, we're actively always trying to expand our team. But what we want to do is, what is the end goal and how do we give that client the experience so they feel that they're having those many touch points along the year, every year, that they feel, you know, oh, they remembered my birthday. Oh, they remembered, you know, that I drive in. So, hey, here's a car park voucher, or they remembered this. So being that intentional in terms of what are you trying to have for your client, but having them a system where, you know, I'm not going to send this PDF to you because we don't want, you know, any cyber issues. So we're going to upload it on your portal. So log into your portal and you can download it from there. So that kind of provides that safety mechanism. But also having NHR, which is like DocuSign. So when we do send things for signing, it automatically gets stored into our system. So it's all about, what can we automate in Pluto Soft in the advice process through the workflows, so we don't need another head on seat, basically? And then what can we automate for clients that aren't generally paying very large advice fees, but you're still servicing them? How do we still make them feel special every year? And what system are we going to use for that, so we can still have multiple touch points with them on topics that remain interesting and at the forefront of what they want to know?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's. I mean, that's a whole other podcast, and that's the.
I know, right?
And there's so many facets to running a business.
Add to that. Adding to what Sasha said there. I don't think they're like mutually exclusive. I don't think, you know, being efficient comes at the expense of client experience. In fact, I would say they both go hand in hand. If you're more efficient, well, then you've got more capacity to create a better client experience. If you're turning your advice around quicker, you know, there's nothing that's going to annoy a client more than to have a 3-month time frame to deliver your advice. So if you can deliver your advice efficiently, the client's going to be a much happier client. And then also, I guess, in the way we've gone about the system, like having that client portal, having the ability to share projections on the client portal, having the portal firm branded, the idea there is to make sure that you are creating a really good client experience and that you're doing it efficiently.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's fabulous when a client actually says to you, oh, no, I've uploaded that all on your portal. And you're like, oh, good job, you know, good job.
It is. It's really gratifying. You're like, oh, yes, yeah. Okay, good. You're really interested and you're really engaged. And that's exciting. It is exciting.
That's right.
It is really exciting, actually. So, look, Vincent, I guess question then for yourself, and this is, let's just think product agnostic, right? So if you were starting a new advice firm today, how would you design your tech ecosystem from the ground up? And I guess compared to 10 years ago, right? It moves so fast. But clean slate, how would you design it, your tech ecosystem, not the advice practice per se?
I think I would try to keep it simple. You know, we don't want to overcomplicate it. I think you've got to prioritize your bread and butter financial planning tools, because at the end of the day, that's your job as an advisor, is to be able to deliver your advice. So I'd certainly be focusing on making sure I had the right tools in place that would enable me to generate the advice efficiently. If you're a new business starting out, then you've got some advantages, because you know, you don't have some of the legacy issues. You know, if a business has been running for 20 years, then it's a bit trickier to change systems. Certainly achievable, but a bit trickier. But if you're starting, you know, if you're starting from scratch, you do have the luxury of looking at, you know, what is the best breed of software going forward. And I'd certainly make sure that I nail my advice production and set myself up for success that way.
So then giving it that other lens, which is an established business, Sasha, so how would you suggest an established business, regardless of size, but, you know, a 10, 20-year-old financial advice business look at refining, redesigning their tech ecosystem?
Yeah, so I would strongly recommend they bring in a team of their current members and call them like the key stakeholders of what they're trying to build. So people that can own each layer. There's never going to be one person that's going to own adding the advice systems in, doing the FDSs or the invoices, and then obviously doing the client. They're all different people. So whoever's doing the cash flow part, they need to really own, okay, well, what are we putting in our advice? How do we want it to look like? The person building all the workflows and the systems and being able to do those flow charts, that's someone different. That's someone in client services that understands the process of advice and where things need. So I'd be highlighting people that are in your current practice as the experts in what they do and building a team that way that are going to run it. Like all of us founders or lead, we don't have the time to sit there and get nitty gritty. So we don't do it justice. And I believe the people that will do it justice are those core people in your business that know how your business runs, wants to run successfully and more efficient, wants the clients to have a better outcome, because then there's, you know, so I believe you pick those people and then you build a team around it that way. And then you all literally, the way Plutosoft onboarded us, or probably still onboards today, is they don't just say, okay, here you go and run. They break it down into, okay, this week we're going to focus on this. This week we're going to focus on this. And me, I'm like, oh, but you know, I want to use it all now, and we're not getting to that until week 5. Whereas the team actually learned how to do absolutely everything before we went on to the next practice, which was a perfect way to learn. But if I was in charge of it, I would have kept jumping ahead, because, you know, I'm impatient. I want it to work now. The best advice I could give is, you know, you're not solving a problem if you're identifying a new one. So identify your key people that are great at what they do and get them to build it. And once you get their buy-in and they see how easy it is, and every single team does the training in that integration period, that is so important. It's not like, oh, I can't opt in and opt out of that. It has to be a full opt-in for the people using the system, so they know it and they learn it, but they're learning it at a pace that they can understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think it's really interesting. And I think, you know, just take a sidestep to acknowledge that in a lot of advice practices, it is the business owner who is generally the lead advisor who goes to a conference and sees a great shiny tool and comes back and goes, let's do it, let's get it done. And to use a phrasing that Vincent said about, you know, bread and butter advice tools, if you're the lead advisor, if you're the business owner, your job is to go get business, right? Your job is to bring the business in. And if you are getting sidetracked, also running the integration project of a new system, where's the money coming from, right? So, you know, I think that is, of a business of any size, I think we have to get realistic that it can't be, in many cases, the business owner, the lead advisors, who are the champions, to use a change management term, for this project, because then the cash flow coming in is going to suffer. So,
I think when the team helps shape the system, there's ownership. It stops being the system that they were given. Oh, they've given me this new system. It starts being, this is the way we work. This is the way we give advice. And I think that's really powerful because you don't want to tell your people what to do, because that's absolutely when you get the pushback.
100%. Yeah, no, that's really good feedback. So, look, we're coming to the end. We are coming to the end of our allotted time. Now, I do always round out my episodes with our number one tip. Now, Sasha, you gave a really good tip before, and I feel like it was your number one, but I'm not going to let you use it. So I'm going to give you time to think about another tip. I'm going to ask Vincent first. So, look, if you could give our listeners one tip about an advice platform, bring it into their business, anything at all to do with this sort of topic, what would be your number one tip for advice practices out there, Vincent?
I think just start early and do your due diligence. Go to the market, assess what's out there, reflect internally on where the gaps are, and then just really give it the focus and attention that it deserves, because technology is such a key part of running your advice business. You want to make sure that you prioritize it accordingly.
Excellent. Now, Sasha, were you able to come up with a
let
tip
me
in
see.
The business very I succinct time?
I know. Let me see. I think when you strip it all back, the setups that work well is minimal duplication, clear data flow, integrations that generally save time, and one system everyone agrees is one source of truth.
Oh, I feel like you might have had that waiting in the wings for me. That was a nice answer.
I had a few there.
She's a professional, everybody. She's a professional. All right. So, look, we could honestly talk about this all day. And thank you so much, Sasha and Vincent, for sharing your insights, your learnings with our listeners. Huge amount of takeaways and ideas. So for our listeners, please be sure to tune into our next episode, where we're going to discuss that change management piece in a lot of detail. So we're going to discuss change management, what successful practices do differently when it comes to overhauling their advice tech. Thank you, Sasha. Thank you, Vincent. It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.